Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're going deep on something that's super important in real estate, but honestly, it could be a little confusing. Escrows. So, you know, you sent us some excerpts from this document, reaf08escrow.txt. And wow, it is dense. Like, seriously, this thing's packed with all these legal details that anyone buying, selling, or even just thinking about property should really, really know. Mm-hmm. And, well, that's what we're here for, right? To break it all down.
Right.
You know, so you can go through that whole escrow process feeling confident, like a total pro. So, expert speaker, what's the thing that jumped out at you most from all this material?
You know, it's really interesting how escrows, they're basically like these mini trusts. They protect everyone involved, you know, until everything, every single condition is met. It's like a safety net for these transactions. They can get pretty complex. But there's this other thing a lot of people don't think about, which is how powerful escrows can be when you're negotiating.
Hold on, really? Like, how so?
Okay, so let's say you're buying a place, right? You can actually use like contingencies. You put them right in the escrow instructions and boom, your interests are protected. For example, you could make the wholesale hinge on a good home inspection or whether you actually get your financing approved. It gives you leverage and, you know, peace of mind.
Okay, that is a total game changer. I never thought of it like that. But okay, before we get too far ahead, let's back up for a sec. What is an escrow exactly and why is it such a big deal in real estate?
So basically, how California law defines an escrow is as a neutral third party. They hold on to assets, you know, money, documents, whatever, until everyone agrees that all the conditions have been met. It makes sure that in a real estate deal, neither the buyer or the seller can just back out all willy-nilly or, you know, without facing consequences.
So it's not just about like the money going back and forth, but also ensuring everything in the agreement actually happens.
Yeah. Exactly. So for a sale to be valid through escrow, you absolutely need two key things. First, a solid contract, you know, legally binding between the buyer and seller. And second, you have to have this conditional delivery of something valuable to that neutral third party, things like the deed to the property or, you know, loan documents.
Got it. Accountability and security, that's the name of the game.
Yeah.
And this neutral party, they're called the
escrow holder.
Right, the escrow holder. So their job might seem, I don't know, kind of simple at first glance, like they're just holding on to stuff, but when would they actually have to, like, make a tough decision?
Okay, so picture this. The home inspection, it uncovers some big problem the seller had no clue about. And now the buyer wants to haggle, you know, get the price down, but the seller's like, nope, not happening. In a case like that, the escrow holder, they'd have to dig into those escrow instructions. They might have to step in as a mediator between both sides, maybe even talk to a lawyer to figure out what the fairest move is.
Wow, so they're not just sitting there watching. They're really making sure the whole agreement is actually followed, you know, fairly. That's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, they have to be in contact with all these different professionals, like the lender, the title company, even you, the real estate brokers, just to make sure the whole transaction goes smoothly. They're kind of like the conductor of an orchestra, you know, bringing all these different parts together so you have this, like, harmonious closing.
Okay, I like that. Sticking with that analogy then, who are the musicians in this escrow orchestra? You know, like, who are the key players?
So in a typical real estate sale, your main players, we call them the principals, are going to be the buyer and the seller. And, you know, if there's a mortgage involved, the lender is a principal, too. They're the ones giving all the instructions and making those, you know, conditional deliveries we talked about all through the escrow.
Okay, but what about all the other people involved? Hmm. Like the inspector, the title company folks?
Yeah, those are what we call the non-principals. They might be saying, hey, there are these claims on the property's title, or asking for payment from the escrow, or giving those, you know, super important inspection reports. The escrow holder, they act as a custodian for those folks. Basically, it means they have to treat them fairly and professionally, handle everything the right way.
I see. So you've got the principals,
yeah.
Right? They're like leading the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then the non-principals, they're playing their parts. And the escrow holder, they're making sure everyone's in sync. Now, the document, it mentions escrow instructions over and over. What are those and why are they such a big deal?
Well, think of the escrow instructions like sheet music for escrow orchestra. They spell out all the terms, all the conditions of the entire transaction, like, you know, what's the purchase price? How's the buyer's ownership going to be recorded? Any conditions that need to be met? And what if something goes wrong?
And are these instructions set in stone or can they, you know, change if they need to?
There are two main types, actually. You've got bilateral instructions, which means both the buyer and seller sign off on them, and then unilateral, which means each side signs separately.
So if those instructions say something different from the, you know, the original contract, right, the instructions are what matters most.
Generally, yeah, because they're the latest agreement between everyone. But it's not always that straightforward.
This is where it gets interesting, right?
Right. So while you can change the escrow instructions, everyone involved, all the principals, they all have to agree. One party can say, you know what, I waive this condition, but only if it doesn't mess things up for everyone else. It's all about balance and fairness, really.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. But yeah. What happens if, let's say, the buyer and seller, they just can't agree on something while they're in escrow? Does everything just stop?
Not necessarily. It's where the escrow holder, that neutral third party, you know, they really come in handy. They can actually file something called an interpleader action.
Interpleader? Whoa, that sounds serious.
It is kind of serious. It basically means they're asking a judge to step in and make a decision when the buyer and seller are just stuck, you know, can't agree on something. It's like, help, we need a referee here.
Yeah.
And they can also ask for what's called declaratory relief from the court.
Okay, and what's that?
Well, that means they can get a ruling from a judge on how to actually interpret the escrow instructions if there's, you know, any confusion about what they mean.
So the escrow holder, they're not powerless. They can really keep things moving.
Exactly. They have to. It's part of their job to make sure the whole escrow process stays on track.
Now, I remember the document. It talked about a completed escrow or a perfected escrow. What did that actually mean?
It means everything. All the conditions in those escrow instructions, they've been met. Inspections, loan approvals, title searches, all of it. Everything's done, ready for that final transfer of ownership and, you know, the money to change hands.
Sounds like you've reached the finish line.
Yeah, pretty much. But you know how it is? Sometimes with any journey, you hit a few detours along the way. Escrows, they can be terminated for different reasons.
Like what?
Well, sometimes the buyer and seller, they just mutually agree, hey, let's end this. Maybe something unexpected happened, it's just not working out. Or let's say one of the parties, they don't do what they're supposed to within the time limit, the escrow, it might just expire. And then there's cancellation.
Cancellation. Is that different from terminating the escrow?
Yeah, it can be. Usually when you cancel an escrow, you're just stopping it right where it is. But you got to be careful. There's a difference between cancellation and rescission of that purchase agreement.
Okay, so what's the difference?
Rescission means you're going all the way back to square one. Like that purchase agreement, it never even happened.
So canceling is like hitting pause, and rescinding is like hitting rewind. I like that. Makes it easy to remember. But hold on, what happens if there's like a disagreement about who actually gets the money that's being held in escrow?
Ooh, that's a good question. And it shows why picking the right escrow holder, someone with a good reputation and who's experienced, it's so important. In that kind of situation, the escrow holder might have to file that interpleader action we were talking about before. Basically, they ask the court to decide how to split up the funds. They can't take sides. They have to stay neutral and follow the law and, you know, those escrow instructions.
Makes sense. So you mentioned earlier that the escrow holder needs to be licensed in California. Does that mean anybody can just do it?
Not quite California. They want to make sure anyone handling those public escrows, they have to be licensed by the Department of Corporations. But there are a few exceptions.
Wait, so are you saying, like, my real estate broker could actually handle the escrow?
Yeah, they could under certain circumstances. You see, in the California Financial Code, it's section 17006A4. It says, licensed real estate brokers, they don't need a separate escrow license as long as they're acting as an agent in the deal or they're a party to it. And the escrow stuff, it has to be directly related to what they're already doing, you know, their real estate work.
Wow, I had no idea. So if my broker is the one representing me in the sale, they could also be the escrow holder.
They could, but there are some rules. They can't just delegate everything, just basic tasks. And they can't, like, team up with other brokers to offer escrow services.
Mm.
And that escrow work, it can't be the main thing they do. It can't be a huge chunk of their business.
So it's not something you see very often?
Not really. Most of the time, in your typical real estate transaction, you'll have a separate company handling the escrow, a licensed escrow company. And these companies, they have to jump through a lot of hoops. They have to be incorporated. They need a surety bond. And every year, the Commissioner of Corporations, they audit them.
Sounds like they're really making sure those companies are doing everything by the book.
Definitely. And there's more, you know. There are also all these rules about what escrow holders can't do. What's prohibited?
Prohibited conduct. What does that even mean?
Things like misleading people, you know, making false statements, or paying referral fees to get business, or like paying out commissions before the escrow's even closed.
Yeah.
And they can't accept instructions that aren't complete. Got to have everything filled out properly.
So it's all about keeping things transparent and ethical.
Exactly.
So if a broker tried to pressure me, you know, push me to use a certain escrow company, yeah, it'd be a bad sign.
Totally bad sign. The buyer and seller, they're the ones who get to choose the escrow holder.
Right. It's their deal.
Yeah. And they should feel free to shop around, compare different companies, ask lots of questions, find an escrow holder they feel good about, someone they can trust to handle this really important part of the transaction.
It's like picking any other service. You know? You want to do your research, make sure you're comfortable with who you're working with.
Exactly. And there's this trend now. People want buyers and sellers to have more control over this decision, you know, so the brokers aren't calling all the shots.
That makes sense. Now, earlier you mentioned something about developer-controlled escrows. What's that all about?
Right. So in California, there's this law, Civil Code Section 2995. What it says is developers, when they're building those single-family homes, they can't force the buyers to use an escrow company that they, the developer, have a financial stake in.
So they can't just say, hey, use our in-house escrow company, even though they're the ones selling the house.
Nope, can't do that. It's all about protecting people from those conflicts of interest, you know?
That's good. We've covered a lot about escrows and, you know, everyone involved, but what about the connection between the real estate broker and the escrow holder? Are they like working together, or is it more of a hands-off thing?
Oh, they definitely have to work together. It's crucial, really, for everything to close smoothly. Think of it like a relay race. The broker, they guide the transaction, get it to a certain point. Then they pass the baton to the escrow holder, who carries it across that finish line.
So teamwork is key here.
Absolutely. And a good real estate broker, they're going to do a few things to make sure the escrow process runs smoothly.
Like what?
Well, first off, they'll make sure all the paperwork, the purchase agreement, those escrow instructions, it all clearly says what everyone agreed to, no room for confusion. And they'll give the escrow holder all the important documents, things like a copy of the seller's deed, and they'll make sure everyone has the right contact info so no one's chasing their tail trying to get a hold of someone.
So good communication. That's a must.
Totally. And a good broker, they're thinking ahead, anticipating problems before they even pop up. Like, they'll double check how the buyers want to hold the title to the property, make sure they've got their homeowner's insurance lined up, and if there are any deadlines they need to hit, they'll make sure everyone knows about them.
So having a great broker can make the whole escrow thing a lot less stressful.
Absolutely. It makes a huge difference.
Okay, so what's the most important thing for someone listening to remember when it comes to choosing that escrow holder?
Well, buyers and sellers, they get to choose their own escrow holder.
Right. It's their transaction, their money, their property.
Exactly. So, you know, don't be shy about shopping around. Compare a few different companies. Ask questions. Find someone you really feel good about, someone you trust to handle all this. It's important.
What are some things people should, you know, look for when they're comparing those escrow companies?
Of course, fees, got to think about those. But you also want to look into their reputation. Have they closed a lot of deals successfully? Do they specialize in, you know, certain kinds of transactions? How are they with communication? Do they respond quickly? Those things can make your whole experience a lot better or, you know, a lot worse.
Those are all great points. So much to think about. Sounds like the more you know about escrows, the better.
Definitely. The more you understand about how it all works, the roles of everyone involved, your own rights, and what you're responsible for, the smoother and less stressful the whole thing will be.
This has been so helpful. I feel like I've learned more about escrows today than I ever have before.
Glad to hear it. It's one of those topics, it can get pretty complicated, but it's so important to understand it.
Absolutely. Any last words of wisdom for our listeners before we wrap things up?
Just this. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Whether it's your real estate agent, the escrow holder, or even, you know, if you have to, talk to a lawyer. Make sure you get what's going on every step of the way. And if something doesn't make sense, ask for a clear explanation. It's your transaction, your peace of mind that matters.
Such good advice. Well, thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the world of escrows. I feel a lot more ready to handle my next real estate deal now.
You got it. Anytime. And remember, the more you know, the better, especially with something as big as buying or selling a property.
Until next time, happy learning. Yeah.